Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the March NJ EDA board meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad to be placed in a queue to speak and provide comment. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. If you should require assistance during the call, please press star and then 0. I would now like to turn the conference over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask Tim to read the open public meeting notice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everybody. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice this meeting has been sent to the Star Ledger and the Times of Trenton at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State. Pursuant to the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended, this is a public hearing and comments are invited on any private activity bond projects presented today. Back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Tim. Manera, could you call the roll, please?
Eric Goldfield.
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Farlow.
Here.
Bill Elijah.
Present.
Fred Dumont.
Here.
Maciel Ferrara.
Here.
Aisha Glover.
Present.
Marcia Marley.
Present.
Robert Shimko.
Present.
Jewel Antoine Johnson.
Present.
Aaron Cruz from the Executive Branch.
Here.
Aaron Binder for State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo.
Here.
Acting Commissioner of Banking Justin Zimmerman.
Here.
Commissioner Robert Angelo from Labor.
Here. Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for DEP Commissioner Sean LaTourette.
Here.
Virginia Bauer. I think she'll be calling in late. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Manera. Let's move to the approval of previous month's minutes. We have two sets of meeting minutes to approve today. Before you are the minutes from the February 7th NJEDA board meeting for review and approval. I kindly request that board members state their name for the record when making a motion or a second. Thank you. Could I hear a motion to approve the February 7th board meeting minutes?
Second.
Thank
second,
you.
Cruz.
And a second, please.
Sorry, jumped the gun. Second, Cruz.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none, hearing no further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? All right, hearing none, the meeting minutes are approved. Second, we have executive session meeting minutes from the February 7th NJEDA board meeting. Could I hear a motion to approve the executive session meeting minutes, please?
Antoine Johnson.
Well, thank you. A second?
Second, Cruz.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, let me call for a vote. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Chairman,
hearing
Aisha
none,
I wasn't in attendance.
Thank you, Aisha. Any further discussion? All right, the minutes are approved. Good morning, and I'm going to make a brief chairman's remarks. Good morning. Welcome to our March board meeting. Unfortunately, I'm not able to attend in person today, so I've asked Vice Chair Sarlo to lead us through today's meeting. Let me make a few brief remarks before turning the meeting over to Charles. As always, we have a packed agenda. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that March is Women's History Month, and tomorrow, March 8th, we observe International Women's Day. In line with Governor Phil Murphy's commitment to equity and inclusion, the NJEDA is a testament to the contributions of women all across New Jersey to business, industry, our communities, and the overall state economy. Under our Main Street programs, we have supported women-owned businesses with lease and improvement grants, loans, and technical assistance. In fact, 33% of the businesses supported have been women-owned. Today, the board will be presented with several new items that will help create a stronger Garden State. The Urban Investment Fund Grant Program will be proposed in an effort to support the revitalization of urban municipalities affected by the pandemic. Over $38 million would be allocated, if this program is approved, to fund rehabilitation projects, building reuse studies, and public space improvements in six municipalities across the state: Camden, New Brunswick, Newark, Passaic, Patterson, and Trenton. The board will also consider the NJ RISE program, which will incentivize businesses in other states to reassign New Jersey resident employees back to New Jersey. The $35 million program will provide grants to companies who relocate New Jersey resident employees back to the Garden State, ensuring a resident's income taxes stay in state, and to help drive up the state's tax revenue. An eMERGE approval will be presented to support a second GenMab location in Plainsboro, which is expected to create 300 new good-paying jobs. These approvals, among others the board will hear today, position the NJEDA to continue making investments that will bolster our innovation economy, support the growth of our businesses, and strengthen our communities. Now I'd like to hand the microphone over to Vice Chairman Sarlo, who will run today's board meeting.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to ask Jim to provide his monthly CEO report to the board. Okay. Thank you, Acting Chairman. Thank you, Chairman O'Toole as well. Morning, everybody. As Terry mentioned, we have a jam-packed agenda. We've had more items on our agenda in some meetings, but I think pound for pound, this is probably one of the denser agendas we have. Almost every single one of them is pretty dense, either new program or a major approval under some existing program, so I'll endeavor to be brief. You have my written remarks in here, and I'm going to do a little bit on the budget, and then I'm going to ask Matt Abraham to jump in and give a quick update on the manufacturing voucher program. Just a couple highlights from the last month. One I really want to highlight as we sort of wrapped up Black History Month and head into Women's History Month now. We had a great event last week in Newark at the Newark Museum, a meeting of our Diversity Finance Advisory Board, or DFAB, as we call it, which was also joined by our first cohort of innovation fellows, which is overwhelmingly made up of minority or women or LGBT or veteran-owned new startup businesses. And it was a really great gathering, great space in Newark, at the Newark Museum, but most importantly, a great gathering of folks who are helping us think about the Black and Latino Seed Fund, helping us think about the Innovation Fellows Program, the SETI Seed Fund, any number of things that we're doing to sort of deliver on the governor's promise of building not just the strongest innovation ecosystem in America, but the most diverse and inclusive innovation ecosystem in America. It was a reminder of how far we have to go, but also some progress we're making as well. So shout out to all the teams who were involved in bringing that great event together. We're also continuing to bang the drum on the good news out of the wind sector, obviously after a season of less good news on the in the wind sector. We had a nice event at the Carpenters Dive Training Facility, which is extraordinary, in Sicklerville on Friday of last week. I was joined by the BPU president and the governor's office and the two developers who were just awarded BPU projects. And, we're talking about nearly $7 billion of economic impact, tens of thousands of construction and permanent jobs there, tenants for the wind port, investments in tower manufacturing at the wind port, investments in monopile production in Paulsboro at DEW, so really just an extraordinary, I think, inflection point up for offshore wind. I will take a note while I'm on the topic of wind. There's one bittersweet item today, which is that this is going to be Jonathan Kennedy's last board meeting with us. Jonathan let me know around the turn of the year that he was going to leave sometime this year. When he said that, I heard late 2025 was what I heard. into early 26 was sort of what I, hear what you want to hear category. But Jonathan has been... one, I will miss having to apologize for his thick New Jersey accent. Explain to him that 0.5% doesn't mean anything to anyone other than British trained bankers. But on a serious note, John has been an extraordinary part of the EDA journey, and particularly at the wind port, which is a once-in-a-generation type project that he's already and is going to only continue to be a game changer. And Jonathan's leadership and expertise and grace and charm and excellence from day one in that project is and a legacy that he can enormously be proud of. He will be sorely missed around here. We will soldier on. The Wentworth will proceed, but he will be sorely missed. I just want to take this note a moment at the board meeting to thank Jonathan for everything over the last 5 or so years. Thank you, Jonathan. You also have in your pack the sort of standard board dashboard. I won't go through that line by line. I'll just note that through February we had nearly 320 approvals. I'll just mark that in the 2018-2019 period before Governor Murphy and the legislature had given us all the tools and funding that we've been able to have responsibility for, 318 would have been a good full year number back in the sort of the pre-Governor Murphy era, and now we're doing that in two months, and so really continue to see progress on lots of different fronts. We see lots of approvals in a variety of different programs, whether it's child care or micro business loan program, small business improvement grant, the lease grant program. So the programs that kind of run and don't come to this board for project level approvals, but they're representing the grant scheme, I think, relatively small, but continue to operate. And a continued huge impact of the lots of different programs that we have been given responsibility for. In the spirit of responsibility, too, I was honored to be at the governor's budget speech last Tuesday. That feels like it was about a year and a half ago, but it was last Tuesday. The governor's budget message was extraordinary. It hit all the right notes. And as we began to see the details of what was in the proposal, I think I feel really, really strong and appreciative of the governor's proposals for continued funding for so many of our programs. More than $125 million across a slew of 11 or 12 different programs. And again, just by comparison, before Governor Murphy was governor, my first budget that I was a part of, we got about $500,000 of programmatic appropriations. So $125 million continues to be an extraordinary number. Obviously, that's a proposal from the governor. We'll see what the legislature has to say about it, and I'm sure there'll be some changes along the way. But continued funding for things like Main Street. So with the Main Street 26.5 that was proposed by the governor, that would take it to $250 million in that program since that program started. That so far outpaces any historical appropriations for small business to the EDA and to anyone in New Jersey. If you made a graph of it, it would be sort of illegible because the comparisons would stretch the scaling. Continued funding for strategic innovation centers, manufacturing, Fort Monmouth infrastructure, child care got an proposed allocation of additional federal money. Continuing to fight the good fight on the Wealth Disparities Initiatives program. The Innovation Fellows got some more funding. A new proposal around an AI Innovation Challenge. We still figure out exactly how to shape and size that, but part of the governor's commitment and focus around AI. So lots of really good stuff in the budget. Again, deeply appreciative of the governor and the governor's office for their consideration. Of course, appreciative in advance of the consideration of the legislature and the budget committee and all that as we head into the thick of budget season here. One of the programs that got proposed for funding, continued funding in the governor's budget, is the manufacturing initiative, which we use principally to fund the manufacturing voucher program. We opened that round in February for the second phase of that. We started approvals for that program in February. Without further ado, Matt Abraham, who runs the show on MVP.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Good morning, Chairman.
Hey, Chairman.
Good morning, board members. MVP Phase 2 was launched successfully on February 12th, and it was within 24 hours, it was oversubscribed. This just speaks to the demand that we have out there in the marketplace as well as the enthusiasm. So far, we've received 189 applications with a funding request of $30 million. As Mr. Sullivan mentioned, we are processing these applications quickly, and we've heard nothing but great feedback from the marketplace. Very happy and very proud of this program. Happy to answer any questions.
Yep. Awesome. So we're going to need that budget appropriation.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Great. All right. Thank you, Matt. Any questions on budget stuff, board dashboard, my report, SEC, anything before we jump into the meeting of the agenda? Okay. Vice Chair, we're calling you today. Back to you.
Thank you, Tim. And thank you, Jonathan, for your service to the EDA and leading the Wentworth initiative. So we will move on to the agenda for today's board meeting. I'd like to announce to the public and the board members a policy change with regard to public comment period to allow public comments to take place before the action items, before the board votes on particular matters. So the members of the public will now be able to speak, again, before the board considers the agenda items. This would mean that the public, there will be no public comment period at the end of the meeting. We're moving into the front of the agenda. So with that said, we will now open the public comment portion of the meeting. I would ask Danielle Esser to read NJDEA's public comment policy process for this board meeting.
Thank you. As stated in NJDEA's public comment policy, members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment portion of the meeting will be acknowledged to speak first in person and then by phone. Members of the public attending the meeting by phone who are interested in providing public comment can press 1, then 0 on their phone to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue based on the order received. Now I'll share at NJDEA's public comment policy, which is also available on NJDEA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization, affiliation, and the topic on which remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit their comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired, and a speaker may only speak one time during public comment period to ensure there's enough time for all those who wish to speak. And speakers may submit related documents, printed comments, or materials attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comments at this time.
Thank you, Danielle. So I'd like to now acknowledge members of the public who would like to make public comments to the board, either in person or on the line.
People, I'll work with us. Is there an opportunity for comments?
Operator, can you read the prompt for members on the phone, for public on the phone?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press 1, then 0 at this time. We have no questions in queue at this time. Please continue.
Thank you, operator. Okay, seeing no members of the public present here for public comment, we'll move on to the agenda. I will now give a brief audit committee report. The audit committee met on March 1st and discussed several matters. Staff provided updates on various items, including external audits that are underway, integrity oversight, monitor updates, compliance audits, and quarterly portfolio review and risk report. More comments on the audit committee report. We'll move to the policy committee report. The policy committee met on February 22nd. The committee began with a presentation for a proposed new program, the Urban Investment Fund, that we're going to hear about shortly, a very exciting fund that helps some of the urban cities. The committee also presented two recommendations for qualified venture firms for the Innovation Evergreen Fund. The policy committee also reviewed and considered several additional proposed action items, including a recommendation modification to the New Jersey Clean Energy Loan Program, and two MOUs, one with the DEP to accept funding to support the work on the Council on the Green Economy, and the second one for the NJEDA to continue to provide support to Capital City Redevelopment Corporations. Lastly, there was a recommendation for a contract award for business and information technology consulting services, which we will also hear about later on in our agenda.
Let's make one observation there, potentially. Particularly as it relates to the Urban Investment Fund, which John Carlo is going to present in a moment. Good, really great example of the committee process at work. Good, really good feedback, particularly from you, Vice Chairman, calling you, making sure we had that program right, tightened it up a bit, made some adjustments to it as we go, which is how it should work. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Tim. So we're going to now have a presentation by John Carlo, Dean Dargo, Senior Program Officer, Real Estate Program, on the Urban Investment Fund Grant Program. And as Tim said, the board members on the committee probably saw two or three drafts of this particular program based on the feedback. So,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, board members. On behalf of the real estate team, I'm excited to present the Urban Investment Fund grant program for your consideration. The Urban Investment Fund is a pilot program which will provide grants to eligible municipalities to support investment in various real estate programs as part of a commercial corridor revitalization strategy. Using federal SLFRF funding, the program, like several others that this board has approved, is designed to address the lingering impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on downtowns, such as decreased capacity, loss of foot traffic, and declining revenues, and to respond to evolving market conditions such as hybrid and remote work. The goals of the Urban Investment Fund are to catalyze and support revitalization by funding activations and development that will in turn increase residents, visitors, and our office workers, and promote strong, resilient, and equitable economic recoveries. This program will expand investment in communities by working to activate underutilized, distressed, or vacant properties for projects to promote equitable economic growth and urban community development. The program is structured so that eligible municipalities must first identify a key commercial corridor area and outline a revitalization strategy for that commercial corridor area, which must include a minimum of two interrelated projects to be undertaken. These projects could be building rehabilitation projects for developing mixed-use or commercial projects, building reuse studies to look at the conversion of office to commercial or mixed-use, or public space investments such as funding permanent or semi-permanent physical improvements for public space. Eligible municipalities must be within both the top 5% of municipalities based on commuter-adjusted population and the top 5% of the 2023 Municipal Revitalization Index. The municipalities are Camden, New Brunswick, Newark, Passaic, Paterson, and Trenton. EDA staff will provide guidance to eligible municipalities to ensure applications are complete, eligible, and consistent with the program. Eligible municipalities with commuter-adjusted populations over 100,000 will be eligible for up to $7 million, while eligible municipalities with commuter-adjusted populations below 100,000 are eligible for $5,732,716. All applications we brought to the board for funding consideration and approval, and the members are asked to approve the creation of the program with $38,198,148 from the State Fiscal Year 2024 Appropriation Act for Urban Investment Fund using American Rescue Plan SLFRF funds. Delegated authority for the CEO to enter into an MOU with the Department of Community Affairs for those funds to be deposited in the Economic Recovery Fund for this program and for the utilization of an additional $954,956 as administrative fee, and delegated authority to the CEO to adjust the approved project funding amount, project details, or milestones, and completion dates within an approved application in alignment with federal expenditure deadlines. Thank you for consideration of this new program.
May I get a motion to approve?
Mr. Vice Chair, I'm going to recuse myself as president of the committee.
Okay.
Be
here. Take
it. What do you mean? One clarifying question, not a clarifying, just an additional question. You said the approvals will come. You'll bring them when projects are ready. So you might be back with one for Camden, two for Trenton, and one for Paterson.
It'll be one application per municipality. So you'll get one application at the
City X is ready first. They get to go first.
Correct.
City Y is taking the time.
Yeah. We anticipate later this year, maybe beginning of 2025.
Do you have an idea of what the remaining allocated $50 million will be utilized for?
Their balance was used by the ARC program, which was approved, I believe, in February.
So let's get the motions on the table. We can continue the discussion. So I have a recusal on the record. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved. Aisha Glover.
Okay. First, Alicia will do a second on the motion. Okay. Any additional comments, questions, discussion? Well, I do have one. I believe the funds have to be used by actually
2026.
Yes. Is there going to be application deadline period and review period?
Yes.
By a certain date?
Yeah, we anticipate launching the program in May of this year, which applications will then be due about 4 months beyond, so looking early in the fall. We anticipate coming to you guys later in the year, beginning of 2025. With a deadline a couple months actually before the federal deadline, just so that we have some wiggle room. And then if there is a change to the federal deadline, with the delegated authority we're proposing, the CEO would be able to make some amendments if needed.
So that would be, if someone's proposing building a space station, They're not going to have time to do that in 2 years.
No. But 2 years should be enough time. We hope so. We do the projects that are contemplated. Okay. Thank you. And there's no other comments. Could I get all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, I think that was an aye. Any opposed?
Okay. No, it was a late aye from O'Toole.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, I heard none opposed. We have one refusal on the record. Any other refusals? Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Did Virginia join? Getting you on?
I don't think she is, so we can do the report when she joins, but we should just proceed to the next action.
Okay, we'll just skip over. Okay, so Virginia Bauer, who chairs our Center Committee report, has not yet joined, so we'll skip over for now the committee report, and we will go on to the presentations of the incentives. The first one will be by Tomasa Generals, the analyst sector financial incentives.
Good morning, board members. Today I will be presenting information on a new EDA pilot program, New Jersey Reassigning In-State Employees, New Jersey RISE. New Jersey RISE's goal is to increase New Jersey's gross income tax withholding by encouraging businesses with New Jersey resident employees working outside of the state and reassigning employees back to New Jersey by issuing an incentive based on employees' withholding. As outlined in the board memo, the EDA will not award no more than $35 million in a state fiscal year. Applicants will be awarded no more than $500,000 under the program and must submit applications prior to July 1st, 2028. Upon other eligibility requirements mentioned in the board memo, this program applies to states that have convenience of the employer income taxation, such as Delaware, Nebraska, and New York. Applicants must show that their businesses have 25 or more U.S. employees and be principally located in another state. For fiscal protection, the EDA will issue the award with a 25% retainage. Businesses will be required to forward a CPA certification of the gross withholdings for employees that have been identified during the application period. Once the Division of Taxation verifies those withholdings, the balance of their award will be released to the business. Upon approval of this board memo, it is anticipated that the applications will go live during the second quarter. With that being said, I ask the board members to approve the following. The creation of the New Jersey Reassigning In-State Employee New Jersey RISE Program, a pilot program that will provide grants to businesses principally located outside of New Jersey that reassign New Jersey residents that are currently assigned to work in a state with convenience of the employer's income taxation to work in New Jersey locations. The utilization of up to $35 million for New Jersey RISE in any fiscal year contingent on continued appropriation. Delegation of authority to the Chief Executive Officer to approve individual applications for the New Jersey RISE program with the parameters set forth in this memo and the attached program specifications. Delegation of the authority to the Chief Executive Officer to extend the time period for submission of the CPA certification. Thank you, and I welcome any questions.
Thank you. Okay. Can I get a motion to approve?
Motion, Chris.
Fred Dumont, I make the motion.
Okay, second by Fred Dumont. Thank you, Fred. Is there any discussion or questions? Are we going to do a target marketing for these types of employers?
Absolutely. Yes, we approached the 4-year anniversary of COVID. Anybody who's got employees that haven't been in the city in 4 years, still paying their taxes in the city in the state of New York?
Okay.
Encouragement to fix that.
There's no other questions or comments. I'd like to ask for a vote by saying aye for approval.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any refusals or abstentions? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now move on to the next incentive matter under the Emerge program, presented by Matthew Sestrich, Manager of Building Media Financing and Incentives, with regard to
Nab, U.S.
Thank you, everybody. Quickly, I'll go through. It's been a while since our last eMERGE approval, so a quick overview of the program to kind of refresh everybody and for the new members. The eMERGE program is a performance-based tax credit program that encourages economic development in the state's priority sectors by providing tax credits per job created or maintained in the state. To be eligible for the program, a project must meet various eligibility criteria, including being located in a qualified incentive area, creating a minimum number of new jobs, and meeting the minimum capital investment thresholds. In addition, the project must comply with certain standards during its commitment period, which is set at 1.5 times its eligibility period. Upon approval and demonstration of site control and financing, the business must execute a commitment agreement with the authority, and projects that include at least $10 million in capital investment need to enter into a community benefits agreement with the municipality or the county of the project's location. Projects must provide evidence that they yield a minimum net benefit to the state. For most projects, the minimum is at least 400%, but there are targeted sector areas where the minimum net benefit is either 300 or 200%. Most importantly, projects must also demonstrate that the award of the tax credit is a material factor in the applicant's decision to recreate and or retain the project's involvement in New Jersey. As mentioned, the program is performance-based, so at project completion and prior to the issuance of any tax credits, the applicant must provide a report prepared by independent CPA certifying the amount of the capital investment was made and that the jobs are actually created or retained. Moving on to the project in front of you today is for GenMab U.S. Inc. They are an international biotech company specializing in the creation and development of differentiated antibody therapeutics for the treatment of cancer. They have in-house and partnered preclinical multi-stage clinical development programs, and the company currently has 2 commercialized cancer medicines in the U.S. Originally founded in 1999 in Denmark, GenMab's parent company, GenMab AS, and its related entities have more than 1,600 employees worldwide, including in locations in Japan, Denmark, the Netherlands, and the United States. GenMab U.S. Inc. is the U.S. Entity for GenMab and has its U.S. headquarters in Plainsboro, New Jersey. On April 9, 2019, GenMab received a $12.8 million Grow New Jersey Award for establishing this headquarters in Plainsboro. This project included the creation of 150 jobs and the retention of 66 jobs, and involved over $20.6 million in capital investment. The Grow New Jersey Award is in good standing currently, and the commitment period for this project ends in 2036. As of year-end 2023, GenMab has 668 jobs currently in the state. And for this project that they're considering today, GenMab U.S. is planning to open a new location to support the R&D and commercialization of a new bispecific antibody therapy called Epkinly, which received approval in May 2023. This new facility and its employees will support ongoing research and clinical development operations of other new therapies for various types of tumors from proof of concept through development and full regulatory submissions. GenMab is considering entering into a lease for 3 floors in a building adjacent to its existing Plainsboro headquarters. This lease includes an option to extend out for a total of 22 years. Total estimated capital investment includes $36.8 million to renovate and fit out a total of 135,000 square feet. The facility is outdated and requires significant work to bring to modern standards and to GenMab standards. This project will create an estimated 300 new full-time jobs with an average salary of over $188,000. These new jobs include clinical development, commercialization, research positions, as well as IT, HR, and other support staff functions. If New Jersey is selected, GenMab anticipates executing a lease in the early second quarter of this year, with the facility being fully operational 12 months later in the second quarter of 25. Alternatively to New Jersey, GenMab is looking at 113,000 square feet of space in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania option requires an estimated $26.9 million in capital investment. The facility's layout and current condition would allow GenMab to occupy portions of this space nearly immediately in early 2024. GenMab has received an incentive offer from Pennsylvania, including a $2 million grant to the PA FIRST program. As detailed in the memo and based on project information, which includes the creation of 300 new jobs at an average salary of $188,000 per year, the project easily reaches the cap of $4,000 per year for an annual award of $1.2 million, reaching $8.4 million over the max of the 7-year period. Based on the economic analysis of the project scope, the project is anticipated to yield a 709% net economic benefit to the state, which is significantly above the hurdle rate of 400%. EDA staff and senior leadership met with executives from GenMab to discuss this project in person and discuss the viability of the alternative site. The authority has a CEO certification and a letter of intent executed by GenMab's CEO. I believe Tim had a call with him this week as well. Based on the project scope and material factor analysis described in the memo, the staff is recommending approval of this project. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Matthew. Can I get a motion to approve?
I have a question.
Sure, let's do the motions first and then answer the questions. Motion to approve?
Dragon motion.
Second?
Or second.
Thank you. Okay. Questions and comments?
Yes, got a question. Is there any requirements for prevailing wage or labor harmony?
Prevailing wage, all construction entered into by the applicant and its landlord because they do occupy, or they will occupy more than, I think it's 35% of the building. And then there's a requirement for building services to also be bid out at prevailing wage.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I vote in favor by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Refusals or extensions? Hearing none, motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Okay, we have two Aspire-related programs to hear from or applications to hear from. I will be recusing on both of these applications as both applicants are clients of my firm. So is Virginia on now?
She's not, but...
pinch hitting for the pinch hitter.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Much to my chagrin, I'm not Ginny, but I'm happy to do this. I'll ask I'll ask Kevin to come up and present the next item, please. We are seeking your approval to award up to $113,651,245. And Aspire tax credits to a mixed-use residential project. The project is known as Metro Park at Woodbridge and is located at the current site of the Metro Park, New Jersey Transit Station. The applicant is proposing the redevelopment of an existing 12.4-acre surface parking lot. The project will entail roughly 582,000 gross square feet of new development, including close to 245,000 square feet of built-to-suit corporate office and medical office component for Hackensack Meridian Health, as well as roughly 325,000 square foot residential component consisting of 235 units and close to 12,000 square foot of retail space with 20% of the units reserved as affordable. The project is expected to be completed in two phases with the corporate office and medical office component comprising the first phase and the residential component comprising the second phase. This is considered a residential project given that the majority of the square footage consists of residential uses. So you can see on the left, we have a rendering. So the left-hand side is the residential component, and so it's kind of a mid-rise building. And then on the right-hand side, you'll see the office slash medical office component. And then if we look at the site map, we'll see this is effectively the first of kind of a more large-scale redevelopment of this site. And so our project is right in the middle, and then the outside sites are proposed for future development, which I think are hopefully residential, but this kind of office project is the first phase to kind of unlock that from a municipal perspective. So the board memo provides more project details, including unit size and mix of the residential components of the project, timing of each phase, and how each phase will comply with the green building standards. The memo also provides greater explanation as to the ability of the project to be completed in phases. The applicant was designated as the master developer for the redevelopment of Metro Park Station following an RFP for the redevelopment of the subject property by New Jersey Transit. The applicant is wholly owned by RW Land LLC, which is effectively a joint venture between the various principals of the project's three lead development entities. The lead development entities include experienced developers in Russo Development and Onyx Equities, as well as nationally known general contractor Terminal Construction. The co-applicant is Hackensack Meridian Ambulatory Care, Inc., or HMAC, which is a subsidiary of Hackensack Meridian Health, and is a 501c3 and will act as the nonprofit for the project financing. The memo provides further details as to the role and responsibility of HMAC. A legal review was completed on the applicant, co-applicant, the lead development entities, and any related entities by the authority, and all of these entities were cleared. The total development budget is roughly $123.9 million, including both phases. To help size the award, we exclude costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules. The total eligible project costs are $122,400,339, including both phases. The memo provides further details on the investment entailed by each phase. The developer must contribute at least 20% equity, or in this case, roughly $47.1 million. Equity consists of cash, totaling roughly $18.9 million, and roughly $30.1 million in excess proceeds available at permanent refinancing of phase one. The sources table in the memo shows there are a variety of funding sources expected in the deal and breaks them down by phase. Additional conditions of this approval are detailed in the memo. We subject the applicant's request to the program's various award caps. In this case, the project is eligible to receive the sum of the lesser of $50 million of eligible project costs or $60 million for each phase. This total would also be capped at the number I stated previously, $113,651,245, based upon the expected budget at the time of this approval. To help further size the award, we looked at the project rate of return. In this case, we used the project-specific hurdle rate provided by EDA's contracting consultant, Jones Lang LaSalle. With the benefit of the Aspire tax credit, the equity IRR is 15.66%, which is below the hurdle rate for comparable developments of 18%. Based on the aforementioned factors, we are recommending an Aspire award up to $113,651,245, not to exceed 50% of project costs or $60 million in any phase for board approval. Happy to take your questions at this time.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there a motion to approve? Is there a second? Is there any discussion on the item? Hearing none, we'll proceed with the vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? We have one recusal from Vice Chair Sarlo. Are there any further recusals or abstentions? Thank you. We'll move on to the next Aspire item. I would ask Renee to please come up and present.
Good morning. We are seeking your approval for an award of up to $90 million in Aspire tax credits for the project known as 930 MacArthur Highway, which will entail the new construction of a mixed-income development. The project site is in the downtown neighborhood of Newark, within the River Development Plan area, and less than a 10-minute walk north of Penn Station. The applicant is proposing a 25-story building with 333 residential units on a vacant lot. The project consists of studios, one- and two-bedroom apartment units, with 20% of the units having affordability levels at 50% or less of area median income. There will also be 240 parking spaces for tenants, various amenities, and 3,124 square feet of commercial retail space. The applicant is a joint venture between Barai Development, LLC, the lead development entity, and Bosford Holdings, LLC, the investor. The co-applicant is Elizabeth Development Company of New Jersey, which is a 501c3 and will act as a nonprofit for the project financing and will also provide social services. As per the program rules, EDC meets the eligibility guidelines to be the co-applicant. Those guidelines are noted in the board memo. The legal review was completed on the applicant, co-applicant, lead development entity, and related entities by the authority, and all entities were cleared. The board memo also provides more details, including the rent, for the affordable units and specific breakdown of income affordability levels. The new building will comply with HMFA's and EDA's green building standards. The total development budget is $199,141,570. To help size the award, we exclude costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules. The total eligible cost is $170,193,254. The developer must contribute at least 20% equity, or in this case, roughly $39.8 million. The equity in this project, when accounting for LIHTC, sponsor equity, and the deferred developer fee far exceeds that number at roughly $58.1 million. The sources table in the memo shows there are other sources of debt and public funds in the deal. We subject the applicant's request to the program's various award caps. In this case, the project is eligible to receive up to 60% of total eligible cost, or $90 million, whichever is less. To help further size the award, we looked at the project's rate of return. In this case, we used the hurdle rate model provided by EDA's contracted consultant, Jones Lang LaSalle. With the benefit of the Aspire tax credit, the equity IRR is 10.6%, which is below the hurdle rate for comparable developments of 19.47%. Additionally, because the project is receiving low-income housing tax credits, NJHMFA's deferred fee model was also used to measure the appropriate reasonable rate of return. The total developer fee is $16 million, with $7.1 million deferred and not fully realized until after the 30th year of operations following stabilization. This conforms to the HMFA policy. Based on the aforementioned factors, we are recommending an Aspire award up to $90 million for board approval. If approved, this project would be built and ready for occupancy within 24 months of the start of construction. And I just wanted to point out, if you look at the map we have there to the left, you can't see it, but NJPAC is within 6 minutes or so across from 930 McCarter, and that just went to the board last month. And that concludes our presentation. If anyone has any questions.
Thank you, Renee. Is there a motion on the item to approve?
Jenny Bauer, I'll move it.
Second on the item?
Antoine Johnson.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? All right, hearing none, we'll proceed with the vote. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? And we have two noted abstentions from chair, or recusals rather, from Chairman O'Toole and Vice Chair Sarlo. Outside of that, are there any additional recusals or abstentions? All right, hearing none, thank you very much. We'll turn it back over to the Vice Chair.
And just one note that Virginia Bauer was on for the prior vote as well.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Aaron. Welcome, Ginny. We heard the matters with regard to the Incentive Committee. Would you like to give, at this time, a quick Incentive Committee report?
Sure. Let me get my notes together. And I apologize. Unfortunately, I was caught up in a meeting that I couldn't get off. The Incentive Committee met on February 21st, and as we discussed, the staff presented two new program, NJRISE, which stands for New Jersey Reassigning In-State Employees, and obviously the two Aspire programs that we just discussed and approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Okay, moving on with the agenda, we have a modification to the Clean Energy Loan Program. We will have Marta Cabrell present.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'm here to present a memo requesting that the board approve modifications to the New Jersey Clean Energy Loans, or NJCELS, program. The NJCELS program was first approved by the board in November 2022, and a modification was approved by the board last February in 2023. NJCELS launched in April of 2023. NJCELS is an $80 million co-lending program that offers loans to small businesses seeking to finance eligible clean energy projects in New Jersey. NJCELS is funded by the Federal State Small Business Credit Initiative, or SSBCI. This memo is proposing modifications to the NJCELS program in order to ensure alignment with updated federal guidance and to make the program more accessible for small business applicants and borrowers. The proposed modifications presented in this memo continue to remain consistent with the NJEDA's application to U.S. Treasury's SSBCI program. The requested changes in this memo result from learnings that occurred during the program's implementation to date. We are requesting approval for the following changes to NJSEL. The first is amending the language from allowing a maximum aggregate principal loan size of $20 million to a maximum total transaction size of a project of $20 million. This change is aligned with the SSBCI capital program policy guidelines at the time of this memo. This change in language takes into account that SSBCI guidelines regarding the $20 million cap on transaction size includes forms of capital other than debt, which was clarified by U.S. Treasury after the NJSEL program was first approved. This requirement is subject to any modifications required by the federal government under the SSBCI program. The second is a clarifying item requesting that a title assignment and or lien on one or more vehicles be added to the list of collateral types for this program. This clarification is requested because the acquisition of zero emission vehicles is an eligible clean energy project under NJSEL. The third is an amendment to reduce the burden of reporting requirements on small businesses that receive funding through NJSEL while still collecting the necessary data to comply with SSBCI reporting requirements and the need to track the program's performance internally. This amendment would support small businesses receiving funds from NJSEL. The fourth item that we are requesting is that we are requesting approval from the board for the delegation of authority to the CEO for the following additional items: to approve modification of terms for approved NJEDA funding in accordance with existing delegated authority for board-approved loans not yet closed, and to amend program parameters as needed for any modifications and or additional requirements imposed by the U.S. Department of the Treasury in connection with SSBCI. This amendment will allow for additional flexibility to adjust the mechanics of NJSEL while remaining within the program's requirements. And the final item being presented today is to expand the documentation that can be provided for eligibility for loan forgiveness from only an NJWR 30 form to other forms such as an NJ 927 form or equivalent documentation verifying job creation in New Jersey. In closing, the members are requested to approve the modifications presented today to the New Jersey Clean Energy Loans Program. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Marta. May I get a motion?
Can I get a motion?
Second. Are there any questions or discussions with regard to the proposed modifications? Okay. Okay, hearing none, can I get a vote? All in favor?
I have to recuse myself.
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Hearing none, and we have one recusal on the record. Mr. Shimko.
Can you state the reason?
Well, I would definitely have a conflict with the next one, and I don't want to get any conflict with this one either. So.
And can you, since we might as well address the recusal for the next one, that so you're recusing from both, right?
Correct. Yeah, I feel more comfortable recusing from both.
Thank you, Robert. Okay, moving on, we now have a application under the Clean Energy Loan Program for approval. Marty will continue to present this application.
Thank you. So the second memo I'm presenting today is requesting that the board approve the application of Solar Landscape LLC for a loan of up to $10 million from NJEDA through the New Jersey Clean Energy Loans Program. The terms and conditions of the loan, as presented in this memo, are based on the co-lender's indicative non-binding term sheet, and therefore subject to change based on the co-lender's loan documentation after approval. As such, this memo also requests delegated authority to the CEO to amend the terms and conditions of the loan post-approval in accordance with the NJSEL program design, if needed, in order to match the co-lender's final terms and conditions of the loan. Staff finds the applicant meets all eligibility requirements, including exceeding the minimum score for the program. As I mentioned earlier, NJSEL is an $80 million co-lending program that offers loans to small businesses seeking to finance eligible clean energy projects in New Jersey, and it's funded by the State Small Business Credit Initiative, SSBCI. Complete applications are reviewed on a rolling basis for this program. Potential borrowers submit their applications to NJEDA, which include, among other items, an identification of the private lender and a description of the financing arrangements being offered by the private lender, together with the financing terms of the loan being requested from NJEDA. NJEDA staff then verify basic eligibility criteria, including meeting the minimum SSBCI requirements, and conduct an overall evaluation of the project using the standardized scoring criteria. In order to be eligible for the program, all applications must meet a minimum aggregate threshold score of 50 points or more. A little bit about the applicant today. Solar Landscape LLC is a solar energy company based in New Jersey. The eligible clean energy project they're applying for is expanding a small business that offers clean energy services in the marketplace. In terms of the use of funds, the loan will be used to help scale the business's corporate growth. Through both field and office job creation, the business will be able to expand access to clean energy and bring more community solar and energy savings to New Jersey residents. The loan is expected to create 185 new jobs in New Jersey. The project location is 1930 Heck Avenue, Neptune, New Jersey. The project is located in an overburdened community as defined in New Jersey's environmental justice law and based on the NJ Cells program requirements. The score is 58 out of 100 points. And then in terms of the loan, the total financing for this, including NJEDA and the private lender, is $20 million. The total loan from the EDA is $10 million, with a matching $10 million loan from the private lender institution, which in this case is M&T Bank. NJEDA staff conducted its review of the application and found that it meets the criteria for approval under the program. Legal reviews were conducted on the borrowers and were all cleared. Underwriting staff has also completed its review and deems that the applicant meets the underwriting criteria for the program. And in addition, NJEDA staff completed its SSBCI compliance review and deems the applicant is compliant with all SSBCI requirements. In closing, the members are asked to approve the application of Solar Landscape LLC for a loan of up to $10 million from the EDA through the New Jersey Clean Energy Loans Program, with the terms and conditions presented in this memo subject to change based on the co-lender's final terms and conditions presented in their loan documentation. And the memo also requests delegated authority to amend the terms and conditions of the loan post-approval in accordance with the NJ Cells program design if needed in order to match the final terms and conditions of the loan on the based on the co-lender. Thank you, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Marta. Any motion to approve?
Second motion.
A second?
For our
second. Michelle? Any questions or comments, discussions? There are none? Okay, can I get a vote?
Aye.
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 Any opposition? There are none. And we have the recusal from Mr. Shimko. Motion passes. Okay, moving on to the venture program. We have two applications for qualified venture firms. It's going to be presented by Grace Warner.
Thank you, everybody. I'm pleased to be here with you all today to present our recommendations for this month's proposed qualified venture firms, or QVFs, under the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Program. QVFs are eligible to apply for funding from the Evergreen Fund, make qualified investments in eligible high-growth, innovative New Jersey-based businesses, and to gain support and insights from interactions with the program's advisory board. QVF designations are made on a rolling basis, and applications are reviewed in the order in which they are received. The application period for venture firms will remain open throughout the lifetime of the program. We continue to expand our engagement with venture capital firms interested in the Evergreen Fund. For context, we're currently tracking more than 100 conversations with interested VC firms since the application opened in December of 2022. Thus far, the EDA has received 24 applications and has approved 12 qualified venture firms. The Venture Programs Department is presenting an additional two qualified venture firms for approval this month. Following staff review, the recommendations offered here today have met all program eligibility requirements and minimum scoring requirements as determined by the EDA's Venture Programs Department, in conjunction with EDA's Product Operations Department and Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Department. The scoring rubric and the results for each application are detailed in the recommendation memos in your packets. The two QVF applicants recommended for certification here today are number one, SOSB Investments LLC, an institutional global investment firm headquartered in Princeton, New Jersey, leading industry startup accelerator programs through their HACS JV with the NJEDA, scoring 33.5 out of a total of 37 possible points. And number two is Lumera Capital Investment Management, Inc., a Canadian-based venture capital firm focused on healthcare and life science investments, scoring 29.5 out of 37 total possible points. And Lumera will be our first internationally headquartered VC on the platform, which is super exciting. The TVF applicants that meet all program minimum requirements as outlined in the memoranda and are scored based on the program's weighted criteria evaluation model, which was approved by the board in April of 2022 and is made publicly available on the program's website and in Appendix B of the cover memoranda. The evaluation methodology places a material emphasis on the venture firm's diversity, equity, and inclusion policies and track record of progress made towards policy goals, which is independently evaluated by the EDA's DE&I committees. As previously approved by the Board of Authority, the model incorporates dynamic scoring. Venture firms that have robust diversity, equity, and inclusion policies in place for at least 1 year face an increased maximum score and a minimum required score. These firms may demonstrate progress against their previously established DE&I policy goals to earn additional scoring under the model. This month, both firms have maintained a DE&I policy for at least 1 year. SOSB was able to demonstrate progress against their stated goals through the tracking of key DE&I metrics, and Lumera Ventures was awarded points for best efforts, as it's just the first year they're tracking DE&I metrics. The staff continues to present additional qualified venture firms for approval on a regular basis throughout the life of the Evergreen program as we seek to build a pipeline of engaged VC partners to invest in high-growth New Jersey businesses. I'll conclude my prepared remarks by reiterating the staff's recommendation for approval of the two applicants as qualified venture firms, which shall be approved under separate votes for each applicant. Thanks for your consideration. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Joyce. One vote or two? Okay, so I'd like a motion to approve both proposed venture firms under one vote.
So moved, Eliza.
Elizabeth, second. Phil?
But, yeah, fine.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Okay, any discussions, questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals? Motion passes. Thanks, Grace.
Thank you, guys.
Now move on to the Director's Loan Review Committee. Marcia Marley is the chair of this committee. Marcia, you have a few words that you'd like to present to the board?
Thank you. The New Jersey EDA Director's Loan Review Committee met on February 21st. Staff presented two standalone bond applications for approval, one for the NJ Performing Arts Center Corporation in Seward, NJ PAC, and one for NACT, which stands for North American Camp Trust, located in Franklin Township, Somerset County. Lastly, staff presented a recommendation for approval under the New Jersey Clean Energy Loans Program, which I think we've already heard. So I'll turn it back over to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Marcia. Okay, we have a public hearing on two bonds that will be separately presented and voted on. Angela Kyle, Senior Credit Underwriter on the NJ PAC.
The New Jersey Performing Arts Center Corporation, which incorporated in 1988, is the state's anchor cultural institution and presenter of arts and entertainment, a leader in arts education for children, and a convener of civic engagement events. They are a 501c3 not-for-profit entity for which the authority may issue tax-exempt bonds as permitted under IRS code. Authority assistance will enable financing of the project, consisting of the development of the new Cooperman Family Arts Education and Community Center, renovations and improvements to the existing New Jersey Performing Arts Center and Chambers Plaza, the acquisition and renovation of 31 Mulberry Street in Newark, renovations to the New Jersey Performing Arts Center for Arts Education at 24 Rector Street in Newark, and for certain costs associated to the issuance of the bond. This request for a $50 million tax-exempt bond is being presented for final approval and will receive a public hearing. This bond is associated with the Aspire incentive that was approved by the board last month. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think we have two recusals. Chairman O'Toole, you're recusing yourself on this matter?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Vice Chair. And just to be clear, also on 930 McCarter, the recusal is due to my the potential involvement in those projects of Goldman Sachs, which was my former employer, where I'm still a shareholder, just for the record.
Thank you, Chairman.
I'm sorry.
Okay. We have one more.
Yes, I have to recuse myself. My spouse works for Prudential, which is a funder of energy.
Okay. So with the two recusals on the record, can I get a motion to approve?
Ginny Bauer, I'll move it.
Okay. Ginny, and then second by Robert. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have the two recusals. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, the next one will be, the next bond hearing will be by Stephen Novak.
NACT, Somerset Incorporated, established in 2022, a subsidiary of North America Camp Trust Incorporated. The company was created to purchase and operate a summer day camp in Somerset County, New Jersey, currently known as Oakcrest Day Camp. The company is a 501c3 not-for-profit entity for which the authority may issue tax-exempt bonds under the IRS code. Authority assistance will enable the applicant to acquire a 20-building, 10.6-acre summer day camp that includes kitchen facilities, an office, a pool house, four swimming pools, several ball fields, a rock wall, a high rope course, a playground, and two covered pavilions. This request is for a final approval of a $11.5 million tax-exempt bond, and the project will be receiving a public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Can I get a motion to approve?
Antoine
Johnson.
I'll move at 7.
Sorry. I'll second.
Any questions, comments, discussion? Here are none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals? Here are none. Motion passes. Thank you, Stephen. Okay, we have some MOUs and agreements to through and approve. The first one is going to be on the Council on the Green Economy MOU. Presenting will be Ahmad Chandri.
Good morning. The members are asked to approve a memorandum of understanding between the EDA and the NJ Department of Environmental Protection. In New Jersey's fiscal year 24 budget, $5 million was appropriated to the NJDEP to support the Governor's Council on the Green Economy. DEP and EDA are now entering into this MOU for EDA to administer these funds and continue the state's efforts to develop workforce capacity for green jobs and build a nation-leading green economy ecosystem. Specifically, this MOU will enable the DEP to provide $5 million funding to NJEDA to support NJEDA's costs for the procurement of consulting services for targeted research on employment projection and staffing analysis for occupations in the green economy, including but not limited to renewable energy sectors, clean transportation, and green infrastructure, and to produce public-facing reports that synthesize research findings. In addition, the funding implementation of a grant challenge that will help establish New Jersey's talent pipeline for green economy sectors and provide New Jersey residents with workforce development trainings, apprenticeships, and learning opportunities in these sectors. EDA will come back to the board for approval of the grant program in the coming months. The term of the MOU will be 2 years from the MOU's effective date or until the funds are fully expended. NJEDA will provide DP with an annual report that highlights the progress of all proposed programming offered through this funding.
I get a motion to approve.
This is just the inbound. We'll be back for how to do the outbound.
Motion to approve?
I have a motion to approve.
Mr. Elizabeth, second.
Second, Cruz.
Any discussions or questions? Here and on, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Here and on, motion passes. Thank you. Okay, the second MOU will be with regard to Capital City Redevelopment Corp, which will be presented by Daniel Esser.
Good morning. The members are asked to approve an MOU between the NJEDA and the Capital City Redevelopment Corporation, confirming the mutual understanding between the agencies with respect to the provision of the authority support services in support of CCRC. The MOU was approved by CCRC at its Board of Directors meeting on February 21st. CCRC was created in 1987 as an instrumentality of the state to plan, coordinate, and promote the public and private development within the Capital District. CCRC has redevelopment powers, including the authority to manage redevelopment projects and act as a municipal redevelopment entity or redeveloper for the City of Trenton, as well as limited bonding authority in support of economic development. The original MOU regarding support services between the CCRC and the authority was executed in 2014 and has been renewed annually by mutual consent. The members are requested to extend the MOU for another one-year term as provided by the terms of the agreement. In particular, the authority will provide support services to CCRC, including but not limited to board governance, public information, and legal services through the Attorney General's office. EDA will also continue to work with CCRC and the City of Trenton to support specific project-related development. Future transactional real estate activity may result in fee-for-service work as agreed to by the parties and consistent with how the authority's real estate division customarily charges for its assistance. This MOU will remain in effect for 1 year and may be extended for 1 year upon mutual consent indefinitely. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Danielle. Can I get a motion to approve?
Vice Chair and Chairman, I have to recuse. I'm going to recuse myself. I work for the City Attorney.
I'll move the motion, Cruz.
Thank you, Chairman.
I move the second.
Thank you. Okay. Any discussions or questions? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? And one recusal. Motion passes. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on, we have some authority matters. The first one is going to be for a contract award, which will be presented by Emma Corrado, Chief of Staff.
All right. The members of the board are asked to approve the award of a contract for business and information technology consulting and advisory services to McKinsey & Company for a total of $2,857,000 for 6 months of support across the following work streams: human resources, accounting and financial reporting, and Office of the Chief Executive. In July of 2022, the EDA received board approval to enter into a strategic management consulting services contract with McKinsey & Company for 6 months, valued at $3.3 million. During the support period, McKinsey provided consulting services for the authority's product development, IT, and accounting and financial reporting departments. In order to continue the forward progress made during the support model, the authority issued a request for proposals in October of 2023 to further the creation and optimization of scalable and sustainable structures and processes within the EDA's centralized functions to meet continued demand for services. The RFP aims to procure management consulting companies to provide expertise and strategic consulting services for HR, IT, accounting, the Office of CEO, across an array of internal functions, including capacity building, talent development and training, implementation, support for new processes, IT strategic planning, program and performance management, accounting reporting and process improvement, including digitization, and the creation of authority-wide strategic plan. The RFP was issued through State Contract M4010, the Business Information Technology Consulting and Advisory Services Contract, a procurement through the Division of Purchase and Property within the New Jersey Department of Treasury. This contract is a similar version to the one utilized by the authority in 2022 to procure consulting services. However, now DPP has several pre-selected and approved vendors on the contract instead of one. The authority submitted a request through DPP's central intake process, as set forth by the method of operation, and received responses on January 9th from three vendors on the M4 contract. Those vendors were Barry Dunn, McNeil & Parker, the Boston Consulting Group, and McKinsey & Company. In response, the authority reviewed all three proposals, which included responses for all four work streams. Pursuant to the method of operation, the authority was empowered to negotiate pricing reductions. As such, authority staff commenced negotiations and corresponded with all three vendors as to various price reductions according to the scope of work. Proposals were reviewed by a committee of staff and were evaluated off the following criteria established by the method of operation: 1, approach to the project and prior experience; 2, project timetable; 3, summary of qualifications and experience of key personnel; and 4, proposed budget. Upon review of all three proposals, staff determined that Barry Dunn cannot satisfy the full requirements of scope of work, only responding to partial components, and they were removed from consideration. The evaluation committee determined that McKinsey was the highest ranked for accounting and financial reporting, HR, and the Office of CEO task due to their expertise with similarly related authorities in people operations and organizational behavior, accounting, and strategy work. The evaluation for the IT work stream is still under review and will be put forward at a later date. After several back and forth communications for the vendor's best and final offers, the total price for McKinsey & Company, which is ranked the highest vendor, for each work stream is as follows. $1.95 million for human resources, $378,000 for accounting, and $529,000 for the Office of the CEO. Staff concluded that pricing was reasonable given the work to be performed and the proposed deliverables. It was further determined that McKinsey's submissions, including their pricing, are the most advantageous to the EDA, price, and other factors considered. With that, I will open it up to any questions.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to approve?
Motion
approved. Second.
Dragon.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Any discussions or questions for Emma? Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals? Motion passes.
No, this leaves the rostrum as a second anniversary of EDA. Look up indispensable in the dictionary, you'll see a picture of Images in Toronto.
Okay, moving on with the agenda, we have some memorandums to the board, which will be presented by Tim Sullivan.
Thank you, Chairman. You've got the four memos in your pack. As usual, I won't go through them in great detail, but they do continue to kind of reveal the significant amount of work that happens between meetings and not in meetings based on our delegated authority, and that's what you'll continue to see as we increase delegations. You'll see more and more memos and more voluminous memos. Within economic security, I note a continued drumbeat of approvals for the child care program, more than $7.1 million approved in the fourth quarter. The Angel Tax Credit Program continues to see a tremendous amount of interest, 200 applications approved there. So again, just a continued drumbeat of activity and progress all across the board as we continue to advance Governor Murphy's agenda for a stronger, fairer, more inclusive, more resilient, more diversified economy.
Thank you, Tim. Any questions for Tim? Okay. So that concludes our agenda. Does any board members have any general questions they would like to ask any Tim or any members of the staff? Okay, so that would conclude our meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
I'll second.
Bill? Bill got in there first. Okay, Bill. You're on. Thank you, everyone. This concludes our meeting. Have a good day.
Thank you, Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T conference. You may now disconnect.